Maine's ski season during a pandemic. Every year during this week, we dedicate a Maine Calling program to Maine's ski industry. And every year there has been something new to talk about, but not like this year. The COVID pandemic has spurred ski areas, already a creative, innovative bunch, to think even more inventively about ways to open safely. Maine ski centers have introduced lift mazes, igloos, new outdoor decks, and more. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we discuss a ski season like none other. And we'll hear from the general manager of Saddleback, which has reopened after a five-year closure. Have you been skiing yet this year? How was it? We'd love to hear from you. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. Maine's ski season during a pandemic. Every year during this week, we dedicate a Maine Calling program to Maine's ski industry. And every year there has been something new to talk about, but not like this year. The COVID pandemic has spurred ski areas, already a creative, innovative bunch, to think even more inventively about ways to open safely. Maine ski centers have introduced lift mazes, igloos, new outdoor decks, and more. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we discuss a ski season like none other. And we'll hear from the general manager of Saddleback, which has reopened after a five-year closure. Have you been skiing yet this year? How was it? We'd love to hear from you. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. Welcome to Maine Calling. I'm your host, Jennifer Rooks. Ski season is here, and like everything else in 2020, it is different than in other years. Joining me to talk about what to expect when hitting the slopes this year or the trails, Dick Gowans, who is Executive Director of Ski Maine. We invite your comments and your questions. We'd love to hear what your experience has been so far. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Dirk, in previous years, we have had Greg Sweetser on. He retired, and you've taken over as head of Ski Maine. What a year for this new job.
Yeah, it's been quite the transition. Certainly nothing that we expected when we discussed this changeover back in the spring. But, you know, this is what we have, and so we're moving forward with doing the best we can.
Well, Dirk, let me ask you how it's going so far. I'm sitting here looking out my window at a beautiful snow, and I can only imagine that it's even prettier in the places where people ski here in Maine. Have we had a good early season?
We have. We had a little bit of a late start, as you probably recall. It was a little bit warm through November, but certainly things have changed or turned around, and we've got good snow in most of the state now. And so ski areas have been, many of them have been open since before Thanksgiving, and anybody that is still getting ready will be open here in the next day or so, getting ready for Christmas. So we've had a good start, and it's been a measured start. You know, everybody was a little bit concerned about how things were going to look and how people were going to be able to adapt to our new normal, but things have gone very well, and we're looking forward to great skiing. Skiing is the same. It's no different than it's been in years past. It's just that the experience you're going to have there is going to be a little bit different because of some of the different kind of some of the guidelines we need to work with and some of the restrictions we have in place.
Sure. And I want to talk about those in just a second, but I want to ask you this. I know that in the summertime, we saw state parks, we saw local nature areas, we saw so many people out hiking, those kinds of areas with more visitors than before. We saw bike shops sell out of bicycles, L.L. Bean sold out of bicycles. Are we seeing the same kind of enthusiasm this year for cross country and downhill skiing?
We are. You know, people are looking for ways to get outdoors. You know, it's cabin fever has set in early for people because of the pandemic. And so people are spending a lot more time indoors and looking for any opportunity they can to get outdoors. And skiing, both Nordic and Alpine, are good ways to get that outlet and get out there and enjoy the outdoors in the cold, clean air. You know, it's a great way to be out there. And certainly sunny days like this are no different than they were in the past. The skiing is just as great as it's always been. And so that's why people are really anxious to get out there and enjoy the slopes that we have here in Maine this year.
Okay, so let's talk about having a ski area open during a pandemic. I have read that only in Switzerland are European ski resorts open, that Germany, France, other countries that have ski areas in Europe have shut down for the season. Why the decision here in the U.S. to open? What do we know that the European ski resorts don't know, or what's our experience that's not theirs? And then what is different this year? If somebody heads up to the slopes, how can they expect their experience to be different?
Sure. Well, my understanding for the European areas is that Switzerland and Austria are open for skiing, and the other countries like Germany, Italy, and France are only closed in through the holidays. I believe that they're looking at reopening sometime in January. So they're just a little bit concerned about people traveling. And my understanding through the Ski Industries Association is that one of the reasons that they did that is because they get such an influx of travelers from other countries that come in for the holidays, for Christmas and New Year's, particularly from England and other places where they don't have a lot of skiing, that they decided that it was best for them to not have that influx of travel. So we're significantly different here in the United States, where particularly here in Maine, people don't necessarily need to travel to go and ski. So we do have, you know, people that do come and visit from nearby, and maybe they come from states like Massachusetts or otherwise, but they don't need to travel very far, and they certainly don't need to cross country, go between country to country borders like you do in Europe. You know, Europe is very small when you look at it in the scope of things compared to the United States, and so people are traveling cross borders all the time. So I think more of that was just to limit some of that. But you know, here in the U.S., we looked at this, we started planning for this way back in the summer, and how we can operate safely, and we've come up with some good plans, and so far they've been working well, and we hope that they'll continue to work well throughout the winter.
Well, let me ask you about the you were talking about Europe, people traveling across from other countries to ski. But here in Maine, we do have people traveling from other states to ski at Maine's ski resorts. What are the resorts doing about people from out of state? Are they asking if they've had a COVID test before they sell them a ticket?
Yeah, so obviously everybody that comes from either Vermont or New Hampshire can travel here without any kind of quarantine or any kind of testing. So that's been in place for many, many months. It was in place for the summer, and so that worked fine for people from those states. But yeah, certainly Massachusetts was open to us without a quarantine or a test for several months, and currently it is not. So anybody that comes from Massachusetts or Connecticut, for instance, would need to come and either agree to the quarantine or would have to have a test upon arrival or within 72 hours prior to their arrival. So it's part of our procedures, and the agreement that we have with the Department of Economic and Community Development is that we have signage posted at every sales point, every lift ticket sales point, that says that people need to agree that they've complied with those requirements. And so those are in place at every ski area.
All right. And let me ask you about some of the changes. I've read that some of the ski areas have something called, and I'm going to look up the word here, a maze. I've lost my note. A lift maze. What is a lift maze?
Sure. It's basically a lift line. It's where people queue up to get in line to ride a chairlift or any other kind of lift. And so we've implemented some strategies as far as that goes with lift mazes or lift corrals, they're also called, but essentially it's a lift line. And so we're making sure that people are maintaining 6 feet of distance between each other. And so not just lengthwise, fortunately, lengthwise, when you're standing in line, you've got skis on your feet. So essentially, you're roughly 6 feet apart from anybody at all times anyway. And so skiers are also putting in what we call ghost lanes, which are essentially lanes on either side of the lift line so that you have space between not just yourself lengthwise from going forward as you're moving forward through the lift line, but also on the widthwise as well. So that means that we're taking up extra space on the hill. So sometimes lift lines look a little bit longer than they used to in the past, but it's still the same number of people. We're just spreading them out a little bit more.
And I've noticed too that some ski areas are talking about expanded outdoor seating so that people never even have to go into the lodge, expanded outdoor seating, porta potties, something called igloos. Would these be just small areas where people who are living with each other anyway can have lunch together?
Sure, igloos or yurts or things like that. Anything that we can do to try and get as many people serviced as possible. And clearly, we're no different than any other business in Maine where we have restrictions on the number of people that we can bring indoors into the facilities. And so clearly people need to get inside every now and then, whether it's to warm up or to use the restrooms or things like that. So all the ski areas have done a good job with extending and expanding their services outdoors wherever they possibly can. And, you know, doing some outdoor type of food service sales, you know, kind of a grab and go type thing. And we're encouraging everybody to plan on that as they come to the ski area, to be able to be prepared to be outdoors more than they usually do, because they're going to need to be. They're not going to be able to get inside as often as they normally would during a normal ski day. So they might need to wear an extra layer of clothes just because they might need to stay outside and not be prepared for that. So there's just a few things that people need to be prepared for this year that are different than prior years.
Sure. Calling in now, Andy Shepherd, who is general manager of Saddleback Mountain. Andy, thanks so much for calling in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And congratulations. I'm going to start here with an email from Gene. Gene writes, please let the owners and operators of Saddleback please say thank you. Maine and especially Rangeley have not been the same since it was closed. We know it was a Herculean effort to get it back up and running. We appreciate it. Andy Shepherd, tell us about that Herculean effort. What happened in the last few months to get Saddleback ready for this year's season?
Yeah, well, she's right about that. We didn't close on the mountain until January 31st, so we had a late start, but you know, we've literally moved the mountain to try and get ready by December 15th. We were, and that was only possible because of the quality of the people that joined on to this effort. You know, it was all about people who wanted to make a difference in getting Saddleback back open again. There are very few people who are looking for jobs. Everybody was looking to make a difference, and that's how we got to where we are now.
I understand there's a new ski lift, which involved a helicopter to install.
So you know, the skiing experience at Saddleback over the years has always been iconic. You know, there are some of the steep terrain up in Casablanca Glades, or intermediate terrain or beginner terrain. Everyone has always loved the skiing part. It was the getting up the mountain part that's been a problem at Saddleback for years. The old Rangeley lift, kind of the workhorse of the mountain, was a double lift. It was slow. It took 11 minutes to get up there on busy days, and, you know, we need to be busy. The line might be 30 minutes long, so it could take 40, 45 minutes to get up the mountain once you had gotten down again. Our new detachable quad, high-speed detachable quad, gets you up the mountain in 4 minutes, and it has four times the uphill capacity. So, you know, the old Rangeley had about a 750 uphill capacity, but we really only operated it at about 600 per hour. So now the new Rangeley is 2,400 people an hour. We're getting people. Someone yesterday got 28 runs in by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and came in for lunch. And, you know, I don't think he had ever gotten that many runs in a day anywhere. So we're pretty excited about the new lift. We look at that and consider that to be a game changer for us.
Andy, you said you didn't close until January 31st. You've closed, and I want to ask you about the funding model in just a moment, but you closed January 31st, and then in March, the pandemic hit. I don't want to put words into your mouth. Tell me what went through your mind and how you decided to tackle that challenge.
I tend to be pretty pragmatic about those kinds of things. It's just that, you know, these are the challenges in front of us. There were a number of them. COVID certainly was one. it was as devastating as this has been for society, and it has. It also has created, I think, an awful lot of opportunities for the outdoor industry, and I think the ski industry in particular. You talk to anyone that sells canoes, kayaks, bikes, anything that got people out this summer and fall, and they were sold to the walls by, you know, early in the season. Everyone wants to be outside right now. And as the weather gets colder and people are feeling need to go inside, there's still this you know, understanding that outside is going to be safer, and they want to be outside. So, you know, I think that there are a lot of people that are going to be driven into the ski industry because it is, of all the recreation industries you can think of, you know, ways for people to spend time in the wintertime, the outdoor, ski industry is the one best positioned to support a lot of people. Mm. And you look at what's happening with you know, skiers, and typically there are about 2 million skier visits a year that get on a plane in Boston and would head to Europe or out west. Those skier visits are going to stay around here this year, so there are more skier visits to be spread around. You know, I think we're well positioned, and Saddleback has been such a great story that we're getting a lot of attention, and I suspect that we're going to get a lot of those skiers as well.
Yeah, and Andy, let's talk about the story. I mean, for 5 years, the people in the Rangeley area have tried so hard to find a new buyer, have tried to find something to make Saddleback work. Tell me about How did you do it? I know our own Fred Buvert's done some terrific reporting on this. We've linked that on our Facebook page. But tell us the story.
He has, yeah. Fred's terrific. The mountain closed because there had been years of losses, mounting losses, and it was clear that there was going to have to be a significant investment in the mountain to turn that financial trajectory around. And the Barry family, who had, you know, given a lot of themselves and their personal finances to try and make it work, decided that they just couldn't do that anymore. We, you know, worked for 5 years to try and find the right buyer, knowing that it was not going to be a traditional buyer because of the amount of money that was going to be required and the amount of risk associated with that money. Typical investors were not interested. And it was only when we found Arcturus Impact Fund that it made sense to Tom Federle, the fellow and I who worked on this for so long. And what made Arcturus work is that, first of all, their model is investing in economically distressed communities. And in Arcturus's case, it's in investing in communities that have lost their primary employer, which Saddleback was for the region. So, you know, we brought them to the table. They quickly showed themselves to be men of character who understood what this was going to mean. This was an incredibly challenging project to work through, and there were so many off-ramps for them to have taken along the way, and they never wavered from their commitment to making this happen. And so here we are, you know, after having bought it January 31st, they've invested around $18 million into the mountain. We've got the new high-speed detachable quad. We've got a completely redesigned interior of our lodge with a new HVAC system and high-tech bathrooms to make them as safe as possible. New investment in snowmaking systems, all sorts of other things that really create Saddleback as a new property.
Mm. And Dirk, let me turn to you. Oh, Andy, I understand you can stay with us for a little while. Is that right?
If it would be helpful, you bet.
Yeah, it would be. Thank you so much. And Dirk, I just want to, before we go to a break, have you put this into perspective. What does it mean for Maine's ski community to have Saddleback back up and running?
Oh, it's huge. It's just, you know, it's such a great ski area with just great terrain to ski. Without having missed them for the last 5 years, I mean, everybody in the state is now benefiting from having them back online again. It's just such a unique area and just such a gem to the state that it's really important that we're having them back online. And Andy and everybody that's been involved with that effort, it's a huge positive for the state of Maine.
Well, we do need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear from those of you in the community who have hit the slopes already and also folks with questions about Maine's ski industry. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Bull Moose, offering an option of curbside pickup on books, movies, CDs, or video games. Curbside pickup is available at checkout at bullmoose.com. And by New England Cancer Specialists, saluting their team's dedication to life-saving work all year long. NewEnglandCancerSpecialists.org.
On the next Fresh Air, we hear from Angela Bassett. She's the voice of one of the main characters in the new Disney Pixar animated film Soul. In Black Panther, she played the Queen Mother, the mother of Chadwick Boseman's character T'Challa. I hope you'll join us.
And join us for the broadcast of Fresh Air this evening at 8 p.m. here on Maine Public Radio.
We rely on our immune system to keep us healthy. We also rely on our emotional immune system to keep us happy.
But you need to train it. And the way you train it is by experiencing things that are going to make you unhappy.
How setbacks can make us stronger, this week on Hidden Brain from NPR.
Hidden Brain tonight at 10 p.m. here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the show, ski season in Maine. My guests are Dirk Gowans, who is executive director of the Maine Ski Maine Association, Andy Shepard, as well as with us, general manager of Saddleback Mountain. Share your comments and questions via email at talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Calling in now, Josh Christie, an author and co-owner of Print, a bookstore, also an avid skier, co-author of a book about skiing in Maine, and recently wrote a story for Maine Magazine about skiing Sugarloaf. And Josh, welcome back. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks so much, and thanks so much to Dirk and Andy as well for all the work you're doing, both for our industry broadly and at Saddleback specifically. Everything looks great going into this very strange season.
Josh, how many times have you been out already? I know that it's the busiest time of year for the bookstore. Have you been able to get up and hit the slopes at all?
I'll admit that my only skiing this year has been on the Eastern Promenade here in Portland. I've been at the bookstore open to close every day and then some. But after we got the snow last Thursday around 8 at night, I went out to the Eastern Prom where there's some nice pitch going from the prom down to the water. So I got a couple of runs in there.
Oh, good. Somebody who's very confident in their ability to stop to do that run, right?
Absolutely.
So you've just written an article about Sugarloaf. And what makes Sugarloaf such a special place for you to ski?
Well, I think some of it is genetic. My father was general manager there in the 60s, predated my birth by about 20 years, but I think I inherited some of the love of the mountain from him. And then I think one of the Bigelow boys, the founding generation at Sugarloaf, said something to the effect of, if God designed a ski area, he would design something exactly like Sugarloaf. If you look at that mountain and that logo, you've got the open snow fields up top, steep terrain in the upper and middle part of the mountain, and a nice big broad base at the bottom. So there's something for everyone. I love a mountain as well that dumps everyone down to a single lodge. When you're learning to ski or when you're taking a family, it's really nice to have one central area that everyone comes back to.
All right. Want to ask you what I asked Dirk before the break. What does it mean to you to have Saddleback reopen?
Another one with some family connection. My father was there in the 70s as well, and it means a ton. It's, you know, as not to just repeat what your guests have already said, but as such a huge employer in Franklin County, where I lived for a while, and such a great mountain, really one in terms of size and terrain in the same echelon as Sunday River and Sugarloaf, the two biggest resorts in Maine. It's hard to say just how much it means to have another mountain of that size up and running with a really great community and ownership behind it that seem invested in its long-term survival.
Well, Josh, thanks so much for giving us a call. Josh Christie, co-owner of Print, a Bookstore, and author of the book Skiing Maine. Okay, go back to work. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
Let's see. We'll go to William, who's calling from Kennebunk. Hi, William. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to go back to the lift queue statements about Europe. I used to work over there. And the ski line culture there is very different. There's no spacing. Everyone crowds in tightly. And that behavior with COVID is super dangerous. They don't have lift queues or lift mazes like we have. And I have to say that I've skied the Sunday River a few times, and I think they're doing a great job managing their queues. And even with patrollers in the lines, making sure that mask wearing is appropriate. So I think we have a very good situation here in the state of Maine for safe skiing, even though in other places those lift lines may cause shutdowns later.
Mm. And William, when you say you've skied Sunday River this season, you've already been up there.
Yes, correct. Yep. Last day I skied was Sunday. It was great. And they're doing a good job making it safe.
Well, I really appreciate you calling in, William. I want to turn to you, Andy, and ask you a little bit about cross-country skiing. I know that you were instrumental in starting the Maine Winter Sports Center in Aroostook County. What do you hear from your friends up there? How are things going so far? And how are things different at the Nordic centers?
You know, Jennifer, I really haven't had much of a chance to talk to the Nordic people this year. I've just been so...
Okay, I'll ask... Sorry about that. I'll ask Dirk then. Dirk, go ahead.
Sure, no problem. So, so we've had a number of conversations with our Nordic centers because one thing about Nordic is that it's pretty easy to pick up and people can do it. You don't necessarily need to go to a ski center to do it. You can kind of do it on some of the multiple community trails that are out there already. So we are expecting a pretty big upswing in Nordic skiing this year. We're seeing that not just here in Maine, but across the country and around the world. I know that back during the summer, the manufacturers of Nordic equipment kind of predicted this, and they brought up their production of Nordic equipment to anticipate what was going to happen. And that's based on a lot on what we discussed earlier, which was the number of people who went out hiking that hadn't been hiking in a long time, or went mountain biking, or went kayaking or canoeing. People are looking to get outdoors. Nordic is a great way to do that. We're starting to see people head out to the Nordic areas now. We think that, they do rely a little bit more on natural snow. So having the snowstorm that we had last week was a huge help for them, not just for having their own areas having a little bit of snow, but also just to get everybody in the state thinking about skiing again. So we are expecting to see the Nordic centers pretty busy this year.
All right. And Andy, I understand you need to go soon. So I will send you off by asking you this question. What will be the measure of success this season? How will you know come mid-February if you are on track, if Saddleback's on track to have a strong future?
Yeah, our focus this year is making sure that we're creating the safest environment for our guests and our staff. That certainly is a very important metric. We're also going to be paying close attention to the guest experience when they come. We're looking at investing a lot more money in various aspects of the mountain. We're looking to put in two more lifts next year. We're trying to figure out where those are going to go. We're looking at a second phase of development for the lodge, and we're looking at additional trail expansion, things like that. So, I think a successful year for us would be creating the safest environment possible and creating a enjoyable guest experience for people with that focus on safety.
All right. Well, Andy Shepherd, thank you so much for being part of this program today. I know it's super busy right now. Andy Shepherd, the general manager of Saddleback, which has reopened after being closed for 5 years. Let's see. We'll go to Greg calling from Kennebunk. Hi, Greg. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. So I just want to say that my comment relates to the ski industry as a totality, not just in Maine. And early in April, when we first became aware of the health situation, I tried to be an advocate for the ambitious construction of outdoor heated patios. Skiing itself is a very healthy exercise. However, sitting in a crowded lodge, eating, drinking, laughing, it's a very unhealthy situation. So I was very disappointed that the ski industry as a whole did not embark on an ambitious program of outdoor heated patios for dining and drinking.
All right, Craig, thanks so much. Yeah.
But I'd also like to say that Saddleback is a fabulous mountain, and I'm so glad it opened. And Andy Shepherd is a terrific guy. He's Mr. Skiing. So good for him.
Thank you, Greg, for calling in. And right now we have Carolyn Castaldo, Director of Communications at Sunday River, calling in. Carolyn, thanks for giving us a call. And why don't we start by addressing Greg's concern. Has Sunday River changed anything? Have you put heaters outdoors on patios so that people can eat outdoors?
So we have not installed heaters. We do have some fire pits in some of our base areas. We've really been focusing more on expanding dining options, making sure that what we do have inside is at a reduced capacity so that there's plenty of distancing. And what we've seen is that skiers have really been respectful of, their time in the lodge, making sure that everyone's getting an opportunity to come in and warm up if they'd like to.
So why don't I back up and just ask you how things have been so far this year, Carolyn?
Ski season at Sunday River has been great so far. I mean, we've been open for about a month now, so we've been pretty regularly expanding terrain. We started the season by opening only to our pass holders. This was kind of a proactive measure to ensure that while we had limited terrain, we were really offering a good experience, a distanced experience to our guests. And so we've just recently opened up to day tickets about 2 weeks ago. Business has been pretty steady so far.
Mm. Well, let me ask you that. If someone wants to go ski at Sunday River and maybe takes a day off of work or clears a weekend, is it the same as years past? Can one just drive up and buy a lift ticket at the kiosk, or do you need to plan a little more ahead of time?
That's a really timely question. We are actually adding, as of tomorrow, we're requiring online ticket purchases. So it's a pretty easy process on our website. You just go to sundayriver.com and you're able to get directly through to our online store. And pre-booking is a way to save a little bit of money, but also just to help us plan on the number of people who are going to be here. And kind of our mantra through this whole season so far has been make sure that our guests are making a plan ahead of time. So book as many of our amenities as you can ahead of time. Make sure that you're familiar with COVID protocols before you get here so that you're not surprised by anything. There's definitely changes around the resort, like many aspects of life. So we just want to make sure that everyone's kind of aware of what they are going to experience when they come to the resort.
And what kind of changes will be evident to people when they arrive?
Sure. So, of course, masks are required pretty much everywhere on resort unless you're actively skiing downhill or sitting down to eat at one of our restaurants or in our base lodge. And that's really, not a huge change from skiing normally. People wear face coverings all the time when they ski, so it's just kind of adding that into the other aspects, like walking from the parking lot and while you're inside of the base lodge as well. We are also, of course, adding distancing measures into our lift lines. We have kind of a ghost lane, so to speak, between lift lines so that those lines are distanced and spread out. Those are the two main ones. Of course, we do have limited capacity within our lodges, so we have kind of rearranged the flow of things. We have a flagging system at our resort. So if you see a green flag outside, that means that's an entrance door. If it's a red flag, that means it's exit only. And blue flags indicate how to get to the bathroom. So it's just kind of getting used to some of the new ways that you need to kind of walk around the resort as well as wearing that mask and making sure you're keeping your distance.
Well, Carolyn, before we say goodbye to you, I want to ask a question that came in by email from Philip. Philip asks, with minimal ability to use ski lodges, will ski resorts restrict large RVs in their parking lots?
So we do have a specific lot where we're asking folks to park if they're coming with an RV. And we do not allow car camping. So anyone who's kind of coming up and wants to just stay in their car overnight, that's not available. But we do have a specific lot. Our lot 5 near the Snowcap Inn is where we're parking RVs this year.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in. That's Carolyn Castaldo, Director of Communications at Sunday River Resort. We're going to go to Travis now, who's calling in from Lost Valley. Hi, Travis. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. How was the big storm for Lost Valley?
It was a great help to help us get a good base to make some snow on. So we opened up this past Saturday.
All right. What did you see this week?
What did we see this past week?
As far as people coming and how they behaved?
Yeah, we had probably the biggest opening day we've ever had. And people had paid attention to what we had kind of put out there in advance. And I think having some of the other resorts open before us, people have learned some of the new ways that things are being done. And we're very respectful of all of the new guidelines and just had a great time on the mountain.
All right. Well, anything you want to add before we say goodbye?
Yeah, so we actually have a couple outdoor warming areas we've created with some local partners and have a nice online experience for people to buy tickets if they need to come out and have some fun, get out of the house and socially distance on the slopes at Lost Valley.
All right. Well, Travis from Lost Valley Ski Area, thanks so much for calling in. We are going to take another quick break. If you'd like to join the conversation, send us an email, talk@mainepublic.org. You can tweet at Maine Calling, post on our Facebook page, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Woodford F&B in Portland, now offering patio dining and curbside pickup 7 days a week. Menu at woodfordfb.com. And by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org.
I'm Aaron Engelbreth from Maine Public Classical here at Maine Public, and on this day in Maine's history, in 1869, poet Edwin Arlington Robinson was born in Alna. Robinson won the Pulitzer Prize for poetry on 3 occasions and was nominated for the Nobel Prize in Literature 4 times. He was described as more artful than Hardy, more coy than Frost, and a brilliant sonneteer. He's remembered largely for his short, dark, psychological Tilbury Town poems that are based on people, places, and incidents from his years growing up and living in Gardner. Happy birthday, Maine.
On this day in Maine's history was created in partnership with the Maine Historical Society and made possible through the generous support of Marshall Communications and listeners like you.
I'm Peter O'Dowd. A survey of threatened and endangered species has been updated with some startling news. About a third of all oak tree species on the planet are on the brink of disappearing, and another 30 species of plants and animals were declared extinct this year. That's next time on Here and Now.
Here and Now, upcoming at 12 noon today, here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on our program, What to Expect This Year on the Slopes. Joining me, Dirk Gowans, who is Executive Director of the Maine Ski Association. You can join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll go to Rich, who's calling from Moosehead. Hi, Rich. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. And boy, are we jealous of Saddleback. We're so happy to hear that they're up and going. And hopefully here at Moosehead at Big McClosso Mountain that eventually we get a new owner and we were able to open the top of our mountain. I'm calling about a safety issue and I just want to make a brief comment. I have been working with the Tramway Safety Program and Senator Eloise Vitale and Nathan Libby out of Brunswick and made requests to reform the Tramway Safety Committee and give more powers of oversight to our good Chief Inspector John Burpee at the Tramway Safety Program. And what I've asked for is to mirror Colorado's Tramway Safety Program, where they have a public advocate. So if a lift operator or a licensed mechanic or a resort employee sees an unsafe action, they're able to report it safely and have protections. And I just want to say thank you to the new president, and I hope that the ski industry supports what I'm doing. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Rich. Dirk?
Yeah, I'll have to look into it. Honestly, I'm not 100% sure. Being new to this position here, I understand the names. I've heard those names before. And I know that our last governor dissolved the Tramway Commission here in the state of Maine. I've worked with tramway boards across the country in other jobs that I've had. And obviously, we have a national tramway board that manages the B77 lift standards. So that's done through the National Ski Areas Association. So I would have to look into a little bit more before I could really give a better answer to that.
Okay, great. We'll go to Chris, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Hi there. I'm calling to find out about rental equipment for the new residents of Maine for snowshoes and ski equipment.
But Dirk, there are places that will rent for the season, right?
Yeah, there are a number of different places. So if you're looking for alpine equipment, obviously every ski area in the state will offer you equipment when you come there, as well as nearly all of the Nordic centers that I'm aware of. If you're looking for something that's a little bit more generic, like snowshoes are pretty inexpensive. And so I'm not sure you're going to find anybody that's going to rent them for you, but they're certainly available at places like L.L. Bean and most of the other, you know, sporting goods stores. You can even get them at Walmart and other places. Like I said, they're not all that expensive. Most people go with snowshoes and ski poles, and again, they're not that expensive. So I think it's worth it to go ahead and buy them, especially if you're new to Maine. It snows here a lot. It's our longest season in the winter, so get out there. You can use them a lot.
Okay, Chris, good luck to you and welcome. We will move to Sarah calling from Bethel. Hi, Sarah, go ahead.
Thank you, Jennifer and Dirk. I'm so excited for this program because it's really highlighting the natural assets we have right in our backyard. And I'm wondering how we might take this moment, almost a catalyzing moment, to help us think about land acknowledgement with Indigenous lands and also preservation and access to keep these spaces special. Thanks for thinking about this question.
Thank you, Sarah. Dirk?
Our ski areas are all on private land here in the state of Maine, and they are very unique properties. And so I know that our ski area operators really take that stewardship, very seriously. And so I think that each area is going to do a little bit differently because they all own their property privately. But I think it's something that everybody is definitely involved with. And like I said, their stewardship is something they take very, very, very highly.
All right, Sarah, thanks for your call. We will go to Lee, who's calling from Rockland. Hi, Lee, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling to let folks know about an uphill trail that exists at Black Mountain of Maine in Rumford. It's the only one in New England that goes separately from ski trails from the bottom to the top. And we're real excited about that. I'm part of a group called the Angry Beavers that volunteers up there to cut glades. We've cut, I think about 10 new glades this year. And off the backside of Black is a land trust, Mahoosuc Land Trust, that in conjunction with Granite Backcountry Alliance has cut a number of glades. So Black Mountain is kind of a unique resource in the state of Maine for people interested in getting into the uphill skiing part of the sport.
All right, Lee, I'm going to keep you on for just a minute. For those who are not familiar with uphill skiing and are scratching their head right now, explain to me how that works.
Sure. You can use a pair of skis with skins on the bottom. It's similar to a carpet. They allow you to slide forward, and then as you pull back with your foot, it kind of gets some grip. People do it with skis, regular skis, also telemark skis, and then snowboards can be split in half, and they can go up the hill with the snowboards like skis and then put them back together. We also allow people with snowshoes to go up and have the skis on their back on a backpack. So
sure. So you're talking about people who either snowshoe or use skins to get to the top of the mountain and then ski down. Uh-huh. And Lee, what you're saying is at Black Mountain, there's now a section dedicated just to that. Whereas I know many ski resorts will maybe have some time set aside for those folks who want to do that. But you're saying at Black Mountain now there's a space set aside. So all day long, every day, that can be part of your experience.
Exactly. So what's unique about Black is that we have a separate trail. It's the only one that I know of actually in the entire United States at a ski resort that's separate from a ski trail that allows you to go up and enjoy the quiet of the hike up instead of having skiers pass by you on the way down.
Okay, and I have to ask you about the name, the Angry Beavers. You don't sound very angry.
Well, I think that refers to, it's catchy, I suppose that. But we do a lot of cutting, and you got to put some pretty serious effort into it. So I think that is part of where it's directed. But certainly during the ski season, we're the Happy Beavers.
Okay. And Lee, finally, before I let you go, is this the first year that this trail's open?
It was open last year, but it was more of a soft opening because we weren't quite sure how it would actually play out. It had a great reception last year. So this year is kind of the first year that we're really going for it.
All right. Well, thanks so much for calling in. Dirk, anything you'd like to add?
Oh, it's great. People love glade skiing, and so this is certainly sounds like a great addition to Black Mountain.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We're going to move on to Lee. Hold on just a second. There we go. To Lee calling from Bridgeton. Hi, Lee. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to let everyone know that I've been skiing at Sunday River. It's been absolutely fabulous, but you do need to dress in your car or come dressed and put your boots on there because you can't go into the lodges with backpacks and paraphernalia because of the limited capacity under the COVID rules. So you have to be really prepared to be in your car, get dressed there, and then walk to the lodge and directly onto the lifts.
That's a great tip, Lee. And Dirk, she's talking about Sunday River, but you would probably advise, I'm guessing, no matter where you go, to think that way.
And that should be everybody's plan for this season. You really need to plan on getting dressed before you leave home or, you know, depending on where you're coming from. And you definitely need to plan on putting your boots on at your car. As Carolyn told us from Sunday River and everybody in the state is dealing with this, we have limited indoor capacity. So you may not be able to get inside to do the things you normally did, like put your boots on and get ready to go or have a cup of coffee in the morning. You may have to do a little bit differently. And so it's really important for you to be ready to go and plan on putting your boots on before you leave your car. In addition, as she was saying, you know, most ski areas are not allowing people to store anything inside the lodge. And so you might have brought all your stuff with you and stored a bag inside the lodge. That's not the case at many of our ski areas because they don't want to have people have to rely on getting back indoors before they leave because of the indoor capacity issues. So many ski areas require that if you bring anything with you that you have to be able to ski with it all day. So it has to be some kind of a backpack that's manageable that you can ski with during the day. So keep those things in mind. And, you know, our mantra for the season is know before you go. So make sure that you check the websites for the ski areas before you go. It's something you can't just get in your car and drive like you normally would have. You really need to do a little bit of research for the ski area that you're going to go to before you go there and make sure you understand the rules and regulations for how to get around and how to get started and, you know, get on the slopes every day because it's going to be different for each ski area and you need to know that before you leave your home.
Lee, you said you've been skiing a couple times already. How has it been?
Well, the skiing has been really, really great. You feel very safe. They have, you know, the cards that read your pass as you go through the gates. There are ski patrollers there reminding people to put their masks up. Skiers seem to have their masks on. Everybody's in a good mood, happy to be outside. And Mother Nature has provided a little bit of snow for us as well as a fabulous man-made snow that the snowmakers have been able to make on these nice cold evenings. So the season has gotten off to a great start.
All right. Well, Lee, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it. I'm going to go to another question that has come in on email. This is from Ralph. Could the ski industry offer more or better senior citizen discounts? I've called around and they are basically non-existent or start at 70 years old. There should be something for 55 or 60-year-olds at least. Dirk, are you there?
Sure, I'm here. You know, every ski area does things a little bit differently. They all have to manage their businesses a little bit differently. And so there is no real standard for senior citizens or what particular age applies. I'm aware that age 70 is pretty common for most ski areas before there's any kind of a discount or any kind of, you know, program for those people. Usually it's a discount at seasons pass or something like that. So that's a pretty standard for the industry, is somewhere around 70.
All right. And before we go, Dirk, I want to ask you about the smaller ski areas. We've really primarily talked about some of the larger areas. People have called about Sunday River. We talked about Sugarloaf and Saddleback. And they've invested a lot of money into making some changes to their resorts so that people can be safe. What about the smaller community areas? What are you hearing from them?
Yeah, they're really excited about this season because, again, people are going to be looking to, you know, not be making big trips like they may have in the past. And so we see people looking to their local community ski areas to do more skiing. Many of them have told me that their season pass sales were up this year because of people that were not going to be able to go on vacation. And so they decided to spend more money on local season passes for their, for not only for themselves, but for their families. So they're obviously also looking forward to a great season. And they've also had to spend some money as well. And obviously it's proportional to the size because they don't have as many lifts and as many facilities, but they've made some investments as well, regardless of the size of the ski area. So just because you're not the biggest ski area that's out there in the state doesn't mean that you're not being just as strict and being just as mindful about the COVID restrictions that are out there. We all understand that it's important for us to maintain the health and safety of not just the guests but also the employees in the communities where these ski areas are at. So they're taking it all very seriously, and they've worked very hard. We've been working since the summer on some of these procedures. And, you know, one of the things that we have is in the ski industry, we did have the luxury of time because we had time to get ready for this kind of stuff, as opposed to a lot of the summer businesses that had, you know, COVID struck in sometime in March, and we were hoping it was going to go away fairly quickly, and it just didn't. And so those summer businesses got hit really hard really quickly and had to adapt really, really fast. We had the luxury of time to get ready. And so that's paid off really well for us, and we've been really lucky in that aspect.
Are most, do you believe that the employment numbers this season will be the same in the ski industry as they have in years past?
I think they'll be really close. It may be just a little bit less in a couple areas, but they're going to be really close to what they have been in previous years.
Yeah, and before we go, why don't you give us a summary? What is the economic impact of Maine's ski industry on the state?
You know, it's somewhere around $1 billion a year. So it's not something it's not something to take lightly. It's really important for our industries and especially in the winter, because a lot of the hotels and restaurants and things that are in the areas around ski areas rely on that winter business to keep them going. Just like the communities along the coast rely on the businesses down there during the summer months, it's the rural areas and the mountainous areas that rely on the winter just as important. So we're looking for a good season. We're hoping it's going to be a great season. We're hoping that people will follow the rules. And so one of the other mantras we have is don't be the reason we lose our season. We're really asking people to comply with all the rules, wear face coverings at all times whenever you're out there, and make sure you're maintaining distance. And wherever you get to a ski area, look at what those rules are and how they're applying them, particularly as you get indoors, and make sure that you're not really that you're complying with them at all times and not really looking to go against what those are. And kind of, if you've got some other thoughts on the way things should go,
maybe you don't want to ski this season. Maybe you want to take a year off, but we're
Dirk,
hoping
I've got to say goodbye. Thank you so much. Dirk Gowans, Executive Director of the Ski Maine Association. Our sound engineer today, George Thomas. Thanks to John Keimel and John Bradford. This is Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.